Open with me now to Psalm 23. Now, I might just be preaching to myself today, but I don't think the Lord would have had me do this particular message unless it was going to be good for somebody else. So it may be something I say today will touch somebody's heart who is in attendance today, or perhaps listening on our recording. So I'm just going to skip over to Ephesians real quick. You guys don't have to go with me, but I just want to pray. Okay, Ephesians is after Galatians. Pages are sticking together, yay. Okay. Praying from chapter 6. I pray, Father God, always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, for anyone who's listening to this today. And for me, Father God, I pray utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Hallelujah. Back to Psalm 23. I tell you, I thought I was going to mention that I was going to do an expositional study today. Boy, it's a good thing I looked up that word expositional, because that's not what this is. This is going to be just my thoughts, my expounding on Psalm 23. So, as I said, I think this is probably going to be me preaching to myself, but I hope the Lord can use this to help others. Hallelujah. The Lord, I'm going to read it through one time, and then we're going to go back and take it one verse, maybe even one word at a time. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. Praise the Lord. You know, David obviously wrote this, and he was a shepherd. He's out there in the night watches, watching over his sheep, doing as he told to Saul and to Goliath, snatching the lion by its beard and knocking the bear in the head. And God delivered him out of the mouths of those things and delivered his sheep out of the mouths of those things by David's hand, through the Lord working through him. The Lord, all capital letters, the Lord God is our shepherd. You know, Jesus is called the Good Shepherd, but the Lord God, the Father, is our shepherd. He watches over us. When we trust in him, he snatches those lions by the beard, and he knocks those bears in the head, and he snatches those dragons by the tail. What, I don't know what cartoon it was, but it showed this hero. It was Hercules. He grabbed a dragon by the tail, snap, and the thing stood straight out in the air, threw it away. God will do for our problems, whatever people that I know, they say that they're out there slaying dragons. they have problems rise up in their life. They call them dragons. They're slaying dragons. Why are they slaying the dragons? They need to let God do it for them. He's our dragon slayer. Hallelujah. I shall not want. We shall not want. If we trust in Him. Let me back up for a second. We're sheep. We're sheep. People have said that sheep are stupid. Well, maybe they are. I know that in a pack, in a mob of sheep or people, they're stupid. You know, and they're easily influenced. That whole mob mentality. But if we stand back and we will be honest with ourselves, we will admit that we are sheep, therefore we are vulnerable. Sheep implies meekness and to some even weakness. And we are in our own selves, but we have a shepherd who is mightier than any lion, mightier than any bear or wolf or dragon or anything. It's that thing where God talks to me in movie quotes or TV quotes again. God is bigger. It's a VeggieTale song. God is bigger than the boogeyman, bigger than Godzilla or the monsters on TV. God is bigger than the boogeyman. He's watching out for you and me. He is. He's watching out. And, you know, when sheep get frightened, they scatter. And they run away from safety. We need to remember to not allow fear to rule. Because when we allow fear to rule, whether we know it or not, we run away from safety. We need to be running to our shepherd, not away from him. So don't be afraid to be a sheep. Because admit it, yeah, I'm a sheep. I can be stupid, and I can be fearful sometimes, but as long as I stay by my shepherd, I'm going to be okay. All will be well. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Green pastures. The green is what has... Have you noticed how green is such a comforting color? I just know God has a reason for everything he does. And so much of our planet is green. And it just implies to me fertility, abundance, peace, and comfort. Those are things that come to me. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I don't believe in coincidence anyway, but I'm wearing green today, and I don't think that's a coincidence. I think he was putting it in my mind to go here as I'm even getting dressed today, to think about how peaceful it is to be in his flock and how abundant it is in his pastures and how comfortable it is and how safe it is to be in his pasture. And green is nourishing. I don't know anyone who in here who doesn't cook regularly, you may not know this, but when you cook vegetables, it's best to steam them. Have you ever seen broccoli, say broccoli boiled versus steamed? Broccoli that is boiled, especially boiled too long, is not green. It's green, but it's more like a light, pale, unhealthy-looking green. Whereas broccoli that has been steamed is vibrant. And their nutrition is in the green. And so if you boil broccoli, you're boiling out the nutrition. When the color goes away, the nutrition is going away. So when I look at green, I think of nourishment. God nourishes us in these green pastures. He nourishes us. He leads us beside the still waters. Still waters run deep. Isn't that the same? I like to hear a babbling brook. I enjoy that. But I imagine walking through the rushing water or the babbling brook. If I'm going knee deep in a river that's rushing, I'm gone. I'm swept away and I can't save myself. I'm stuck. I'm going over Niagara Falls if somebody doesn't reach out and get me, right? Or if I'm in a babbling brook, there's rocks in that water, and it's not comfortable if you're in your bare feet. But when I think about still waters, I think about some of the crystal clear lakes I've seen, or even pools in a river. And it's so much fun for me to get into that deep water and just float. Face up and look at the sky, or face down and see if I can see what's on the bottom, or watch fish swim by. And it's contentment, and it's peace. And so when I think of still waters, I think about contentment and peace. He restores my soul. And in those times when I'm in that green pasture or in those still waters, it's a time of quiet. And in those quiet times, as I reflect on His glory, His creation, all the wonderful things He has done for me and my friends and my family, it's a time of restoration. He restores. I just got to sing a special last week where He came down from heaven to restore me. That was one of the lyrics. I love that song. I'm going to do a plug. Chris Tomlin, Nobody Loves Me Like You. Check that song out. It's beautiful. He restores my soul. My soul. Our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. Our spirit is already restored. It just happens. Once we trust Jesus, our spirit is immediately restored, and there is nothing that can stop that. There's nothing that can change that except us turning away from Jesus. That's the only thing that can stop that or change that. But our soul gets restored. It's our mind and our will, and our emotions. And to me, that tells me that we have to be an active participant in that restoration, meaning that we have to allow it. We have to receive it. He tells us, be still and know I am God. And it's hard sometimes. Oh, it's so hard to be still when you have the dragons, the fears, the anxieties, the doubts, the problems of this life, the cares of this world coming in. And sometimes it doesn't even have to be worrisome things. It can be joyful things that can crowd in and distract and drown or take up the time that we need to be spending with the Lord in His Word and in prayer. So we need to remember to crucify our flesh and turn our soul to Him and allow our soul to be restored. We have to allow that. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Hallelujah. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. And it makes me think about Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. He will lead you in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Which is why it is so important that we reflect His love to people. We talked about it in Bible school, how sometimes people are turned off of God because what they have seen in and from so-called people of God. We have to make sure our behavior matches up with our confession and our identification. if we profess to be a Christian, which means to be like Christ, then we need to act like him. Maybe we should bring out those old bracelets again. WWJD. What would Jesus do? Be like the one you claim owns you. Ask yourself, does he own me? Because I'll tell you now, he does. In Ephesians, he tells us, no, I'm sorry, Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 6, he tells us, I love praise moves, and that's the foundation scripture. I'm just going to go there. Let me mark my place here. I'm just going to go to 1 Corinthians right now, chapter 6, and read it to you so I don't mess it up. Because sometimes I get really excited, and I'll be, and I mess up. And sometimes I just flat out blank. So I'm going to go there. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. What? Paul says. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And you are not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So, people that go around with those t-shirts, property of, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers, property of Woodall School, whatever. I need to get a shirt that says property of God. Because we are, whether we acknowledge it or not. I had many years ago when I thought I had to prepare so fully, when I took it all on myself to prepare a sermon, and I practically wrote them out word for word. I had a sermon that was called Know Him as Lord. You know, there are many names that people know God as. God our Father, God our Savior, God our Redeemer, God our Provider. But how many people truly, honestly know Him as Lord? Do they understand what that word means? Lord means ruler. Who rules in your life? You or the Lord? You belong to God. So let Him lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Because He should get the glory, because He's the one doing it. So let people, when they see what we do, let them say, oh yeah, they say they're a Christian. Well, that Christ must be a neat guy, because that person, they're pretty neat. Let them see that. Let them see, there's another song I love. Let them see you in me. Let them hear you when I speak. So if we are owned by the Lord, people need to see Him in us. So Lord, as John the Baptist prayed, help us to decrease and you increase. All right, verse 4 now. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. As I reflect on this particular part of this particular verse, I know that people think about funerals in this verse, or this chapter, this psalm, is read or quoted at funerals very, very often. But I've never seen a dead person walk. Okay? And God told Adam and Eve, the day you eat of this fruit, the day you do this thing I told you not to do, you shall surely die. I don't think this verse is talking about physical death. Just as God meant to Adam and Eve, I think this is talking about spiritual death. Or because sin is death. In Romans it tells us. The wages of sin is death. So maybe we could read this, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of sin. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of temptation. Now let me point out, it is no sin to be tempted. The enemy is going to come at us all the time with temptation. Temptation to fear, temptation to get angry, temptation to doubt. These are the slings, the darts that Paul speaks of in Ephesians. When you put up your spiritual armor, that shield of faith, that quenches those fiery darts. So keep that faith up. But if your faith drops, if you let that shield go down, you know, a fiery dart of a terrible thought may come in your head. I believe that's what that's talking about. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So daily, we are confronted with opportunities to die, essentially, to sin. But when we repent, God resurrects us. Praise the Lord. He is faithful and just to forgive us. Praise his holy name. So I will fear no evil. I will fear no evil. Now, I'm not sure about this particular instance of the word evil, but in other places in the word evil is translated as natural. So don't quote me that this means this, but I think it's important to understand that we shouldn't fear these things that happen in our everyday lives, natural circumstances. Things are going to happen, like, you know, I don't know, you get a flat tire. Things that are inconveniences. These are not things that we should fear, because God is our provider. Even sickness, evil. Sickness is evil. It's a natural thing, but it can be sent upon us by a spiritual evil being. Cancer is evil. But, look at this next part of this verse. Thou art with me. I will fear no cancer. I will fear no financial difficulty. I will fear nothing that man can do to me, for thou art with me. God is, he never leaves us nor forsakes us. That's his promise to us from Hebrews. He never leaves us. He's always with us. We talked about it today in Bible study. We're in Romans. We're in chapter 2. We kind of skipped over the verse. We didn't discuss it much. Verse 11. He is no respecter of persons. But I think, you know, as far as this church is concerned, we understand that. So we just didn't discuss it. But I want to go over that for a moment. He's with me. He is no respecter of persons. What he does for Joshua, because he told Joshua, I'll be with you. Be strong and be of a good courage, because I am with you. Let me go there. Again, I don't want to misinterpret, misread. I want people to understand what this is saying, what I believe this is saying. So I want to read it. Joshua 1, verse 9, if I can get there. Okay. Have I not commanded you? There he is, Lord. He's commanding us. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid. I will fear no evil. Neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord, all capitals, thy God, is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So, as we're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, as we are being confronted by temptation, he's with us. He's with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I love this one. I immediately, as soon as I see that verse, I think about David and Goliath. And he's out there, and when you read that from 1 Samuel 17, or 2 Samuel 17, anyway, when you read the story of David and Goliath, read it from the Bible. Read it from the Bible, because a lot of people, when they recount this story, they leave out a very important fact. In my eyes, they leave out the fact that he didn't just bring a sling and five stones. He brought his staff. When he was out there confronting Goliath, he was holding his staff in front of him. And again, I mentioned it in Bible study that I wish we could have a parallel Bible, not just with different versions of the Bible, but with cultural references. Because when you look at shepherds and they talk about the rod and the staff, that's their diary. Shepherds carved little symbols on their staff, on that shepherd's crook. They carved into it. And so one day when David snatched that lion by the beard, and another day when he knocked that bear in the head, afterwards, after the battle was won, he wrote that on his staff, on that rod he used to defend his sheep. He carved that in that staff. And so, while he's out there confronting Goliath, and he's holding that staff in front of him, he's seeing those things he had written down, and he's remembering the testimony of what God has already done for him. We need to remember the things God has done for us. When we're confronted by sin, when we're confronted by doubt, fear, we need to remember what God has already done for us. We need to remember he'll do it again, because he doesn't change. He's our defender. We should fear no evil, for he is with us. His rod and his staff, they comfort us. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I don't know about y'all, but when I die, I'm going to be in heaven. And there are going to be no enemies in heaven. None. So again, I don't know why this verse or this psalm is read so much at funerals. Because it's aimed at people who are alive here on this earth. People are alive in heaven, obviously, but they don't have any enemies up there. We have enemies, they're here. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And think about that. A table before me. So you're sitting at a meal. And how are you when you're at a meal? You should be relaxed and comfortable and enjoying some good food. It's not exactly a forum for having enemies around, right? And yet, God, he prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies so we can be relaxed. If we have an enemy in our presence, we can be relaxed. We can be comfortable because we know he is with us. Glory to God. He anoints our head with oil. Whenever I've read about this, the anointing our head with oil, I'm thinking about, you know, in the Bible. You know, they anoint people with oil. And it's not just a baby christening and I'm going to sprinkle you with a little oil. I'm not going to just take a little bit of holy oil on my finger and do the sign of the cross on your forehead. This is, when they anoint, this is pouring it on you. You are, like Aaron, when he was anointed the high priest, it was poured over his head. Can you imagine taking, like, I don't know, a quart of Bertolli olive oil, extra virgin olive oil, and just pouring it over somebody's head? And it said it ran down his hair, it ran down his beard. He's covering you. He anoints my head with oil. Who's the anointing? What is the anointing? Christ is the anointed one. He anoints our head with oil. And oil, the Holy Spirit. Through Christ, he covers us with his Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Our cup runneth over. We have plenty. We have, as he tells us, everything we need. He meets all of our need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Our cup runneth over. And that not to be, that abundance is not to be kept to ourselves. When our cup runneth over, it needs to run over into the lives of others. It needs to bless others. I think everyone here does that. I can't look at a face in this room and not think of a time when abundantly they have blessed my life. Everyone here, your cup runneth over. And I know that I can come up with dozens of examples of times when your cup has run over into the lives of others, not just myself. So I hope someone is hearing this on the recording and understand. If you're blessed, if you know that you are blessed of the Lord, then now you know you need to be a blessing. Our cups should run over into the cups of others. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Hallelujah. Goodness and mercy. Someone called Jesus good. And he said, why are you calling me good? There's only one good. That's God. Goodness. God. His mercy. I just love that verse from Exodus 32, 33. Moses is on the mountain. And he wants to see God's glory. And God tells him, all right, I'm going to put you in the cleft of a rock, and I'm going to put my hand over you, and I'll let you see the backside of me. And then he says, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. I personally, this is just Karen talking, I believe God's telling us that his greatest attribute, his glory, is his mercy. It's what sent Jesus to us. It's what causes him to love us so much. That he sent his son, Jesus, to us. So surely God and his glory shall follow me all the days of my life. When I trust in him, when I let him shepherd me, his goodness and his mercy, his glory, shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Right now, we're dwelling in tents with him because we've welcomed him into our tent. He sits on the throne of our hearts, I hope. And he's going to change it. He's going to change these tents to be mansions. When we get our glorified bodies, we're moving out of this corruptible and putting on incorruption. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord. See, Jesus, when he left, says, I go to prepare a place for you. If it was not so, I would have told you. I believe he was thinking about this. He's making us a place that's like his. And he is so glorified. His body is perfect. No more hurting, no more disease, no more suffering. Those bodies will be able to do wondrous things. He passed through walls. He moves at the speed of thought. He instantly teleported or translated from one place to another. We'll be able to do that stuff. in our house of the Lord. But in houses, we'll be in his house. We'll be there in the third heaven. And by the way, you can go there just by the Spirit right now, because he tells us in Hebrews, you know, come boldly to the throne of grace. We can do that. That's a whole other message. But we're going to be there physically. We're going to be there in his temple, worshiping him. I don't know if anyone's going to be able to be standing up, even in those glorified bodies, because the Holy Spirit's going to reign so much. The Shekinah glory is going to be there. Everybody will be falling out on the floor, slain in the Spirit. It's going to be so glorious. And every time somebody prays, the Word tells us this, every time somebody praises the Lord, all the angels just stop what they're doing. Glory to God in the highest. And they start worshiping with us. How wonderful is that going to be? To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I have just touched the tip of the iceberg of how wonderful God's Word is, and what comes into me as I'm reading his Word. And this is just a very short chapter of his Word. So I encourage people. I was telling somebody the other day, she's Catholic, and she asked, I told her I'm not Catholic. I was confirmed in the Catholic Church. She asked me, why are you not Catholic anymore? And I told her, I was never encouraged to read the Bible. When I went through First Communion, they gave me a Bible, but then they never told me to read it. And just for those who don't know, when you're going through First Communion, you're about 7 or 8 years old. So I don't know about you, but I think little kids need to be told what to do. So when you raise up a child in the way he should go, right? So I was never encouraged to read the Bible. And I was in the Catholic Church right until college. And then I got invited to go to other churches, non-denominational churches, when I was in college. And I went and I visited. And I was so embarrassed because they'd say, turn to this. And I was like, what? I didn't even know that was in there. So I'd go to the table of contents, and I would, you know, and I'm not even there, and they're done reading that part and moving on to somewhere else. But you can't let that stop you. You can't let any embarrassment or any lack of confidence in yourself stop you from getting into this Word. Once you reach, just because somebody didn't encourage you to read the Bible growing up, don't let it stop you now. You're a grown-up. You're making your own choices. So do it. Read the Word. And I hope you'll be blessed as I have been. Let us pray. Father God, we praise you. We thank you for your Word. You hold your Word even higher than your name. And that name is above every other name. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. Your Word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Let each of us here remember to hold that light up, to guide us, and to encourage others as we go. In Jesus' name, amen.